Hey guys, welcome back to the podcast. Today's episode, we are going to be talking all about the 12, scratch that, 13 universal laws of manifestation that are going to help you get what you want. On this podcast, we've talked about the law of attraction, we've talked about the law of assumption, both of which we've talked about in great detail. But did you know that there are other laws that you can work with that can help you get what you want? And you're not just tied to working with the law of attraction or the law of assumption. You can integrate all of the things we're going to be talking about today, all of these spiritual universal laws, into your practice. And if you've heard about these before, like, this is my own personal take, this is my own view, and this is how I use them. And everybody's gonna use them a little bit differently. Like I always say in every single episode, we all manifest a little bit differently. And while these laws, they're kind of like the law of gravity, like they are just always working. They are always switched on, just like the law of assumption and the law of attraction. You couldn't turn them off if you tried. They are always, always there, okay? And they are always working in the background, regardless of whether you work with them or don't. So having this knowledge on your side is gonna make you a more powerful manifester. Like, literally, it's gonna be so, so, so helpful for you to just have this information in your toolbox. It's kind of like when I first learned about the law of attraction or the law of assumption. Like, before that, prior to that, I just didn't have the knowledge of what that was, even though it was still working for me in my reality. So knowledge is power, you guys, and understanding these 12 universal laws is going to be so, so helpful for you. So these laws have always existed, right? Like, these laws have just existed throughout time, and it's up to us whether we want to work with them or ignore them. Either way, they're going to be affecting and influencing our life, just like the law of gravity affects and influences our life. So it's important to kind of understand what they are, I think, especially when it comes to manifestation, because it kind of completes the picture a little bit more, completes the puzzle. And there are probably way more than 12 universal laws. Okay, I can even think of a few that maybe I've observed that maybe don't have a name or aren't popularized, but these 12 universal laws are popular. A lot of people, spiritual leaders, have talked about them. So yeah, they are kind of the core foundational ones that we're gonna look at today, but there may be more to consider in the future. Okay, so the first law we're going to talk about is the law of divine oneness. And this law says that we are all part of the same universal energy. We all come from the same universal energy. And what's possible for me is possible for you, is possible for someone else. Everything that one individual has the ability to create, every individual has the ability to create. And we are all interconnected, okay? So nobody is more something than someone else. We are all the same. We all come from the same. And there is this ripple effect, kind of like the butterfly effect, where, if you don't know what that is, it's like the idea that a butterfly flaps its wings in China and it creates a hurricane in Florida. Like, the tiniest little things that we do, the tiniest little actions that we do, create massive change in reality. And that's why you working on yourself, listening to this podcast, listening to other podcasts about your personal development, manifesting your reality, being happy, all creates this beautiful, beautiful ripple effect, because we are all connected. So you working on yourself is changing the world, even if you only live, quote unquote, selfishly, because of the fact that we are all connected. If you are living in a way that makes you happy, then you are creating happiness as a kind of ripple effect throughout the planet. And also, if you are creating wealth, if you are creating your dream life, you are showing others that it is possible to manifest that for yourself. So this work is really, really important, and the law of oneness kind of shows that. Like, we are all helping to create for each other, and your manifestations affect someone else's, So you can also think of this in terms of everyone is you pushed out, which is a concept that we talk about with the law of assumption. I have a podcast episode on that. And that's the idea that everyone is kind of mirroring you. So everybody is a little bit of a reflection of everybody is a reflection of your own kind of internal conversations, your thoughts, your beliefs, your assumptions. So everybody is reflecting you. And the reason that is because everybody is one. We are all part of the same consciousness. We're just each little individual pockets of that same consciousness. So that is the law of oneness. And the way that I would suggest using it for manifestation is knowing that someone else's success is mirroring your future success, your possibilities. So every time you see someone with wealth, or you see someone with love, or you see someone who's so happy, that is all mirroring what's possible for you. And it's kind of a nod from the universe being like, hey, you know, we've rippled this experience into your reality so that you can see that this is possible for you. Now, the next law we're going to talk about is the law of vibration. And what this law says is that, very similarly to the law of attraction, but a little bit more basic, everything vibrates. Everything has a frequency. And if you think about it, it's really, really interesting, because in reality, everything truly is energy. We are all made up of atoms. Everything is made up of atoms. And atoms are, if you didn't know, they're mostly empty space, which is so crazy. If you took the entire human population and you took away all the empty space within their atoms, they would fit into the size of a sugar cube. That is how, like, energetic we are. We are full of energy. And the law of vibration is really interesting to consider, because if everything is vibrating, everything is just this, these like oscillating waves of energy collapsing into form. Everything is vibrating and oscillating and resonating at a various frequency. And also, I'm sorry if you can hear drilling outside, again, construction. But everything is vibrating, oscillating, and resonating, always at specific frequencies. And what's interesting is atoms, and of course we're getting very technical here, but atoms, when they come into contact with something that's vibrating at a certain frequency, they will also speed up to that frequency. And we can interpret frequency through emotion. I think this is the most common way that people interpret frequency. So the law of vibration, ultimately, when we're talking about it in these terms, comes back to emotion. The frequency that we are vibrating at is generally determined by the dominant emotions that we are feeling on a day-to-day basis, and that kind of defines your frequency, and you will be attracting circumstances that vibrate at that frequency of that emotion, if that makes sense. So in order to use the law of vibration, you want to calibrate things via your emotions. So basically, you manipulate your emotions in order to embody the feeling of having your desire, and that will cause, this frequency will cause like experiences to be attracted to you via the law of attraction. But we'll get into the law of attraction in a little bit. Okay, next we are going to talk about the law of correspondence. So the law of correspondence says that what happens around us is a direct reflection of what's happening within us. Our lives are created by the subconscious patterns that we repeat every single day. So basically, the law of correspondence is one of my favorite laws because it makes so much sense to me. Basically, your internal world reflects and is mirrored in your outer reality. So everything that you're seeing on the screen of space, that you're experiencing out outside in your reality, everything you're seeing is, due to the law of correspondence, a direct reflection of what's happening internally, specifically with your subconscious patterns. So 99% of our thoughts are just repeated from the day before, and this is how our reality begins to be created on complete autopilot. Okay, so most of our thoughts are just recycled. We don't really think too much about all of the things that we're thinking because it's just an unnecessary biological function. Your brain would much rather just repeat patterns because it's easier. It uses less energy, and your brain likes to conserve energy. So most of our thoughts are repeated, and the only way to change that is to then become aware. Force yourself to become aware. I like to do what I call reality checks throughout the day, where whenever I start a new phase of something I'm doing, whether that be eating breakfast or sitting down to record a podcast, I like to check in with myself and ask myself a few questions like, why are you doing this? You know, stuff like that. I know that's kind of random, but it's kind of like, who am I being in this moment? Why am I doing this? What am I feeling? Just asking myself those core basic questions like, what's going on here? And just snapping into that feeling of awareness. And that's how you begin to break down subconscious patterns and change the inner world that then gets reflected in the outer world. And so, as you can see, it's kind of similar to the law of assumption. Not exact, but it is a bit similar. And I find it a really, really important law to know, because if you don't understand this principle, then you're not going to understand the value of doing the inner work, working on yourself, and understanding that, like, we are responsible for creating change internally before we see that change externally. Next, we have the law of attraction. Okay, so this is the law of vibration in action. We attract things that vibrate, quote unquote, at our frequency. Things are attracted to you based on how you're vibrating, who you are. And like I said, the phrase how you're vibrating is essentially referring to our emotion. So there's a scale, I believe it's called David Hawkins scale. Yes, the David Hawkins scale of consciousness. And you can Google it, because unfortunately I can't put pictures in the podcast. But basically, it talks about the various emotions and the frequency at which they vibrate. He measured the frequency of various emotions. And yeah, this is a way through which you can work with the law of attraction or work with the law of vibration. At the very bottom of the scale, I thought this was really, really interesting, is shame. That is the lowest vibrational emotion you can feel. So when you're vibrating consistently at the emotion of shame, you are going to keep attracting experiences that keep you stuck in shame. And that's how the law of attraction basically works. You keep attracting experiences based on where you are at on the scale of consciousness. So it goes from shame, it has a vibrational frequency of 20 hertz, to anger, which is way above shame, which is also really interesting, at 150 hertz, to neutrality, which is 250 hertz, to acceptance and willingness at 310 hertz, to reason at 400, to joy at 500, to enlightenment at 700 to 1000 hertz. So you can think of your consciousness as expanding and contracting based on the emotions that you're feeling dominantly. Now, I'm just going to interject here, because my main issue with the law of attraction is that it can be easily misinterpreted, and I definitely misinterpreted it. It's very easy to think that it is bad to feel emotions, when you look at the scale of consciousness, you think, oh God, I never want to experience shame because I don't want to attract shameful experiences. But I want to interject because this is not how it works. And I know this is going to make the episode so long, but this is so important to know. It is talking about your dominant vibration, okay? It is not talking about transient emotions or emotions that are just passing on through. That is not attracting your experiences in the same way that your dominant vibration is attracting your experiences. So to experience shame is not to have the vibration of shame. And that's really important to know, okay? Being stuck in the vibration of shame happens when you fail to process and release shame. And knowing this blew my mind. It is not that in every moment we are immediately attracting things based on the emotions that we're currently feeling, okay? It's just, where are you dominantly? Where are you stuck? So if you're stuck in shame, it's actually, ironically, because you have not let yourself experience the feeling of shame, let it move through your body and release. So it's all about feeling the emotions to heal and release them, and then returning to a place of joy or love or peace. Humans naturally, like our natural resonance is a place of like love and joy and peace and happiness. And we only ever have our vibration lowered because emotions get stuck and trapped within our body because we don't let ourselves feel them. So you're only in danger of being at the vibration of fear and grief and apathy and guilt and shame, these lower vibrational feelings, if you never allow yourself to experience your emotions, feel them, and release them. And that is really, really important to know. And this is why I prefer to teach the law of assumption than the law of attraction, because it's so easy for people to misinterpret this. Like I misinterpreted it and like begin to get scared every time you have a negative emotion. And if that is something you have been taught or that is a misinterpretation that you've had, I want you to erase that from your consciousness right now, because that is not how things work. I've studied this in depth for years. I've also studied this as part of my master's. I've studied all of the ancient religions and ancient texts that talk about manifestation and consciousness and all of these things. And that is not how it works. So you don't have to worry about feeling shame or experiencing shame. So that was a long interjection. But all to ultimately say, what you want to actually focus on is changing your dominant feelings, your dominant vibration, and your dominant frequency. That is ultimately what is attracting things to you. And if you bypass your emotions, that is no good. And that ultimately leads to getting stuck in whatever that emotion was that you bypassed consistently. Because again, these things build up over time. It's like if you make a mistake one time and you like don't feel your emotions at dinner or like whatever, like no big deal. It's like the cumulative effect of things. So we all know the law of attraction, but that is my take on things. That is why I don't talk about it all the time on this podcast. And I thought that was important to interject. So moving on with the laws, let's talk next about the law of inspired action. And I'm just gonna grab some water because I've been talking forever. my throat gets really tired. Okay, so the law of inspired action is a real misconception that frustrates me when people come onto my TikTok and get mad at me for things that are manifestation based. It's always TikTok. I don't know why. It's been frustrating me recently, so I'm feeling that emotion. Gonna let it go. But the law of inspired action says that action is a part of the manifestation process. Guys, It is. You can do a lot of heavy lifting based on mindset work alone, But ultimately, are you going to be living your dream life if you're lying in bed 24/7? No, I'm guessing not. I love to sleep. I love to spend time in bed. I'm a very sleepy human being. But at the end of the day, like, life happens in the real world, okay? And as much mindset work as you do, there are going to be moments where you get the itch to do things. This morning, I got the itch to record a podcast. I only ever record podcasts when I get the feeling, the gut feeling, or the itch to get up and go do something. I used to like force myself to record them weekly, and they were never as good. Okay, so I listened to the call of inspired action. Now, what is inspired action and what does it feel like and how can you apply it? So inspired action will feel like that split second, that split moment where you get an idea in your head and you think, ooh, maybe I should write a book. Maybe I should go for a walk. Maybe I should go get coffee. Maybe I should go to a cafe. Maybe I should text this person. Those are what I call the breadcrumbs of inspired action. And they're like these tiny little fleeting thoughts, but they always are accompanied by this feeling of like, ooh, I really want to go do this. I kind of like to think of it like God or the universe or angels or spirit guides are kind of nudging me and going, hey, this is for you. And it's kind of almost like getting a notification like on your phone, like, hey, go do this. And it's very quiet and it's very calm, but I'll often get this feeling like I described as like an itch, like just like an urge to go do something. And it can be so random, you guys. Like it can be like getting coffee, like I said, or texting someone, but it's your intuitive nudging, your intuitive nudges that are like telling you that this action is gonna lead to the manifestation. And you'll see when you start to follow inspired action, how quickly things align. It could be, ooh, I'm getting, you know, the urge to start drinking green smoothies. That was mine. And so I ordered some frozen fruit this morning and I'm gonna go make my green smoothie after this. And I feel like it's gonna get me to a place of alignment where I feel in alignment with my higher self. It can be the most random things, like so random. But know this, that inspired action is a very real part of the process. The law of attraction has the word action in it. Action is a part of this. And mindset work, like I said, I consider the heavy lifting. Action is easy once you do the mindset work, but it is also important, and it is not a part of the process that you want to forget or neglect, because life is for the living and we want to go out and start taking action and doing things, because how freaking boring would it be if you just won the lottery and laid in bed for the rest of your life? I mean, it doesn't sound awful, but it would definitely get so boring after like a day, and you would feel hopeless and lost and confused. Human beings need purpose. Human beings need action. Okay, we are biologically wired to get depressed when we do not act on things, when we do not create, when we aren't on the move. So inspired action is really, really important. Next, let's talk about the law of perpetual transmutation of energy. Okay, this one sounds a little bit like, ooh, I don't know. But this law basically just says that even the smallest action can have a profound effect on our lives. So there's a quote, it says, like the seed of a mighty tree holds all its promise in its tiny shell, you also have the power within you to move mountains. So what this law makes me think of is two books, if you haven't read, I highly recommend if you're a bit of a personal development junkie, Atomic Habits and The Compound Effect. And both of these books are talking about this law. And it is the idea that tiny, tiny actions, tiny, tiny habits, when compounded over time, create your life. So going back to talking about frequency, tiny, tiny habits are creating everything, are creating your dominant vibration, which is attracting things. And it's not so much that, if you mess up one time, it's like this huge deal. But it's more the fact that, like, if you skip a workout every day for the rest of your life, you're going to end up unfit. You can skip it one or two days, you know, whatever. It's no big deal. You can go a week. But it's ultimately that compound effect. And what you want to do, what the compound effect actually says, is the opposite of what I'm saying. He says in his book to incorporate these small habits every single day. And they stack up to allow you the ability to move mountains. So the tiniest of actions, like I said, that inspired urge to drink a green smoothie, I have no idea the ripple effect that could create. I have no idea. It could launch, you know, so many biological processes within me that make me a better thinker, that make me a better creator, that make me healthier, that make me happier. I have no idea what a large effect the compounding of me drinking a green smoothie every day this week could have. And it's kind of, you have to think of everything in terms of that. Like, yes, I spent all of today hating myself and I didn't correct any of those thought patterns. That compounded effect day after day after day is going to lead to a really miserable life. At the same time, we don't want to beat ourselves up for it. You know, we don't want to beat ourselves up every time we don't do the small thing every single day. It's knowing that the smallest of things can have the biggest of effects. And that is really powerful. It kind of gets you to start wherever you are. You know, if you have these big dreams, these big manifestations that you want to call in, that tiny step forward today is a huge leap. Like, in reality, it's a huge leap. And you might not even be able to see that right now. You might not know how it's going to all unfold. Like Steve Jobs says, we can't connect the dots going forward, but we can looking backwards. So we don't know how this tiny action or this tiny behavior or thought or belief that we implant within us is going to affect us today, but we will know in the future. So I really like that one. I think it's really interesting. Okay, next, the law of compensation. Now, this law is really actually quite similar to the law of attraction, but it's kind of more practical. So the idea is generally you reap what you sow. So the main idea is that your efforts are going to come back to you positively. So if you it's that idea of like caring for your neighbor. If you love your neighbor, you do something nice for someone, then that is going to return to you. So to kind of work with this law, very simply, you can ask yourself, in what way does my purpose help others? Or in what way can my purpose here on this planet help others? The more you help others and the more you give to others, the more that will be returned to you. And this is just for some reason, a law of the universe. It is a way that things work. If you give with good intentions, that will always come back to you. So that law is really very simple, but that's kind of all there is to it. And it's the more that you give, the more that you give back, the more that is returned to you. So you can think about it in terms of like tithing, like giving to charities, or you can give to friends, or you can really give to anybody. But, you know, you can give energetically your love, or you can give material things, or really anything. But it's just knowing that that will come back to you. And that you should always... I've heard this said in manifestation circles too, like you should always be giving to charity no matter what your bank account looks like, because if you won't give with 100 in your bank account, then you probably aren't going to give with 1 million in your bank account. And when I first heard that, I was like, no, that's crazy. No way. And it's very, very true. Moving on, because this episode is the longest I have ever recorded, let's talk about the law of relativity. So this law says that we are always, it is in our nature to compare things in our world, but in reality, everything is neutral. So it's this idea that we might have this, you know, kind of like innate desire to like just compare everything we have. So like comparing, oh, they have more than me, or like it's that idea that the grass is always greener on the other side. Just comparing everything relative to something else. Like, oh, this burger was really good, but it wasn't as good as this one that I had, you know, wherever. It's that general idea. Everything is relative, and we have this kind of urge to make everything relative. So how you can actually use this to manifest is really, really interesting. You have to strip back your experience of relativity. You have to stop comparing. And the reason you have to stop doing this is because you can begin to neutralize things that you once thought were out of reach for you. So it's really important to have this skill and be able to do this. Like looking at the luxuries that, you know, someone with a millionaire lifestyle has or a billionaire lifestyle has, all of that is relative, right? Like relative to you, you think, oh my God, that's insane. I can never do that. The life they live, like that's just incredible. But that's only relative to where you're stood right now. So you can come to a place of neutrality where you realize like, there really is no relativity. You can just arrive at this place of neutrality in your mind and kind of practice this feeling like, actually, the experience of being a billionaire is just a neutral experience, or the experience of being a millionaire is a neutral experience. Experience of having love is a neutral experience. And you kind of remove your own relative experience from that situation and bring the thing that you want to manifest to a place of neutrality. Basically, you might have heard this put in other terms, take that shit off the pedestal. Take it off. It doesn't need to be there. And it's your relative perception of things that is skewing things. We can begin to shift our reality very quickly when we bring things to a place of neutrality, when we stop putting things on a pedestal or demonizing ourselves or situations that we've been through in the past. Just keep them neutral, keep it all neutral, and that is how we can so quickly align ourselves with various things. Next, we're gonna speed on through because this, like I said, this is a very long episode, but the law of rhythm. Cycles are a very natural part of the universe, okay? So things come in seasons. We all have cycles within our own lives. And this is a really important part of life, of the manifestation process, knowing that we don't always have to be in a period of spring where everything is coming to fruition. We can also be in these winters where things are a little bit cold and we're going through the inner work, we're going inward, we're taking that time to rest, these periods to rest and just appreciate what we have instead of constantly forcing life into this, you know, spring-like phase or forcing life to be in a certain rhythm when it isn't. It's kind of like pregnancy, how there is a gestation period. Everything has a period of creation, and that is ultimately what the law of rhythm says. So I use this law to be kind to myself. When I'm frustrated why my manifestation isn't here yet, I'm like, okay, but the law of rhythm, there's a gestation period, just like the seasons as well. You know, maybe this is my period of rest, and it will come because that is the law of rhythm. But it doesn't need to come right now. So you can also look at your inner rhythms. Maybe it's time to take a break, take a rest, be in that winter phase of your life. You don't always need to be in spring. You don't always need to be creating. Okay, and looking at the law of gender, the law of gender simply says that things have masculine and feminine energy. It doesn't really have to do with, you know, sex or anything like that. It's just the idea that things have like a masculine and feminine energy, and people of any gender, whatever you identify as, can experience masculine and feminine energy, whatever body you're in. And society typically has, masculine and feminine energy to it. Everything in society does. That's why a lot of romance languages, they gender things. They'll be like, oh my god, I literally did a French degree. Why can't I think of a masculine thing? Like, le pain, like bread, is masculine. Like, things like that. So everything has masculine and feminine energy. And you should strike a balance between your own masculine and feminine energy in order to live authentically and also to manifest. So what is your own balance? Feminine energy is very soft. Feminine energy is creation and is flow. It is allowing. And masculine energy is like that hustle. Like, I have to hustle to get what I want. So it's kind of that balance between inspired action on the masculine and allowing the flow of life and allowing things to come when they're going to come in the feminine energy. And lastly, we're going to end with the law of assumption. I'm going to keep this really short and sweet because I have recorded a very long episode and I'm so tired now. I don't even know. But ultimately, the law of assumption ultimately says that what you assume and you believe on a conscious and subconscious level is going to manifest into reality. And I like it because it's practical, it's simple, it's easy to follow, and it's very easy to work with. You're ultimately just looking, what are the beliefs and assumptions that are blocking me from my desire, and working to change those. It kind of goes back to the law of correspondence as well. Like, reality is your mirror. Reality is showing you not what you want, but who you are. So, yeah, the law of assumption is basically the law of belief. Whatever you believe with conviction and with intention is going to happen for you. So I hope you enjoyed this very long episode. And I hope you learned something new about the 12 laws of the universe and how to use them, how to work with them. It's really, really interesting when you realize that, you know, manifestation expands far beyond just the law of attraction and just the law of assumption. So the 12 laws of the universe are a key that is going to help you unlock your desires. I promise you, it gives you a much fuller perspective and fuller understanding of manifestation. So definitely try working with some of these laws, try working them into your understanding of manifestation. And you can always review this podcast. That always helps me so, so much. Whatever platform you're on, love reading them. And you can follow me at KarisLeahW on Instagram or at the School of Manifestation Pod. I'm at KarisLeah on TikTok. And I'm Manifest with KarisLeah on YouTube. Thanks so much, guys. Bye.